you for being obedient. Every one of you, oh my goodness. And God's not through. I'll just share the word and then we'll do something else. How's that? We'll do a little more. How's that?
That's right.
We'll get Andrew and Cher to sing a special. How's that? There we go. Y'all be thinking whatever's on your heart. Y'all can come up, okay? Aiden, he can sing a special too. So he put his sunglasses on. He can. Hallelujah. All right, I'm not wasting any time. I want to get into this because y'all confirmed my word and all of that. So, and I believe it's important. Hallelujah. This will give Sister Cherry time to go do what she needs to do later and being the first Sunday. And so, anyway, God is faithful. Oh, my gosh. Mary, thank you for being obedient to the call. Patty, thank you for being obedient to the call. Oh, my goodness. Goodness. All right, Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. Hallelujah. We can save those songs. We'll sing them either later or another Sunday. How's that? Whatever the Lord has. Oh, Brandon, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for messing us up today. Amen. Amen. Joshua chapter 4, I want to read verses 1 through 9, and then we'll skip down to 20 through 24. But just follow along with me right quick. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord and the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time, saying, what mean ye by these stones? You shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over them unto the place where they lodged, and lay them down there. Then look at verse 9. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan. These were 12 more stones. The first ones he took out of the Jordan. He set these stones up in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Down to verse 20. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Before I give you my title, real quick, yesterday was so awesome. Pastor Jenkins invited our men over there to their first men's breakfast, really is what he had said. And they had five speakers, and it was so awesome. They spoke on faith. Brandon, Brother Jenkins, had Brandon just kick it off. It was like a horse right out of the gate. And it was faith and fatherhood. So Brandon, in all of that he covered, landed on there's no regret for your life, you know, for the fathers. Doesn't matter. And what's happened in the past. And then there was faith in the brotherhood and faith in the storm and faith in the finance and faith in the mental health. It was so, and I'm telling you, the guys got up and it was heart-wrenching. But I'm telling you one story about what came out of that was humility. Another one came out, the word out of that was surrendering. And I'm telling you, their testimonies, their stories were, it was powerful. Very powerful time and to hear. And so the title of my message this morning from that, and it even confirmed today also, what's your story? What is your story? We see this morning from our text, which we've just read, the Joshua, he chose 12 men out of 12 tribes of Israel and commanded them to take every man a stone. And these stones were to become pillars of testimony to the miracle-working power of God, dividing the Jordan and delivering the children of Israel. And as we read it, it was required, that every man would take up a stone upon his shoulders. In other words, every man had to carry his own testimony or carry his own story. And we find John then writing these words in Revelations 12 and 11 about some overcoming Christians. He says, and they overcame him, speaking of Satan, the accuser of the brethren. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. From the youngest to the oldest, listen in here this morning. Don't ever think that your story, your own personal testimony, isn't important. Because according to the word of God, you're made an overcomer by the blood of Jesus and the word of your testimony. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8:37, he says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome, telling them we are more than conquerors. Meaning more. Because they didn't just survive the persecution. They didn't just survive the tribulation and the famine. They overcame. And they now have a testimony. They have their own story to tell. And the children of Israel then, by Joshua, did not just make it through the waters of the Jordan River. I didn't just get delivered. I didn't just get healed. I didn't just make it through the fire and through the flood. But I've got a testimony. Joshua said every man must carry his own testimony. It's the blood of the Lamb coupled with your own testimony that makes you an overcomer. We need to be reminded this morning that our testimony is what makes each one of us valuable to the kingdom of God. Your testimony is what makes you dangerous. Your testimony is what makes you a threat to hell. You see, it's not just what you came through. It's not just how you made it through that makes you a threat to hell. It's that you came through. Amen. In other words, your personal victory benefits no one except yourself. But when you open your mouth and declare the faithfulness of Almighty God, and declare the mercy of God that delivered you, that rescued you, and set you free. Your testimony becomes a weapon. Your testimony becomes a sword in your hand. Your testimony becomes an instrument of power to set captives free. Your testimony becomes a lifeline to someone who is sinking. You're a dangerous to the enemy because you have got a testimony. And sadly, so many of God's people have been shamed into hiding their testimony for various reasons. In fact, many believers are afraid to give their testimony because the devil makes them believe that if they do talk about it, it might open the door for it to come back, or they might fall back into that pit where they were delivered from. I need you to hear me. That is a lie from the pit of hell itself. That is nothing but the spirit of fear and manipulation and intimidation, because the devil knows the power of your testimony. Proverbs 18:21, we've quoted it quite a bit in the last few months. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The devil wants to keep your mouth shut because he knows your testimony has the power to bring life and hope to somebody. It has the power to bring joy and peace to someone, and to bring restoration and deliverance to those around you in your circle of influence. And you have to know, as a believer, you have a testimony. It's yours. It's your very own. You didn't have to borrow it from somebody else. It's your own experience. So what is your testimony? Well, Pastor, it was my pain, my heartbreak. It was my confusion and my fear and my loss. It was a fire, and it was real, and it was hot, and it hurt. And Pastor, at times I felt like I wasn't going to make it. And at times I felt like I wasn't going to, that I was going to lose my mind. At times I felt like I was going to die. But I made it. But I made it. Can anybody relate to what I'm talking about this morning? I made it. The attack didn't kill me. I was snake bit by people's words, but I didn't die. The divorce didn't kill me. The drugs didn't kill me. The loss of loved ones didn't stop me. The sickness didn't kill me. The car wreck didn't kill me. Come on, somebody. Do you see? We all have a testimony. Every one of us. Your calling was attacked. Your character was attacked. Your finances were attacked, but it did not kill you. You've walked through the valley of the shadow of death, but you're still here this morning. And you came in with the joy of the Lord and the strength of the Lord on your countenance. Some have walked through the fiery furnace, but listen, it didn't burn you up. And there was no smell of smoke left lingering on your being. You may be wading through some deep waters right now, but guess what? You're still here worshiping and praising God. Maybe you've heard the devil say, I'm going to take you out. But guess what? You're still here, still declaring your healing and your deliverance and your freedom. You and your spouse have a testimony. There have been times when you felt like you couldn't make it, and there were people who said you wouldn't make it. And there were people who had already written you off, said you couldn't sing. But God gave you a testimony and a voice to sing. God believed in you. He never gave up on you, and He raised you up. Is there anybody that has a testimony today? You should have made it out of that wreck. You shouldn't have. The officers on the scene said it was impossible for anyone to survive that kind of crash. You shouldn't have survived that drug overdose. You lost your house, you lost your car, you lost your money. You should have lost your mind. Others have gone through a lot less and didn't make it, and they're locked up in an institution. You shouldn't have survived that attack on your character. Am I talking to anybody this morning? You shouldn't have gotten that position at your place of employment. Others were a lot more qualified than you. Statistics say you should barely be surviving or already dead. But God. But God. Has anybody got a but God testimony? I should be dead, but God. But God has healed me. God has sustained me. but God has delivered me. God has promoted me, but God has protected me, but God has anointed me, but God. The three Hebrew children had a great miracle when God delivered them through the fiery furnace. But the most valuable thing that they received that day was not the miracle itself. It was the testimony. Because you see, the miracle was theirs alone. And it only benefited them, and it was just for that day and for that problem. But guess what happened? We are still reading about their testimony, and it's still bringing hope down through the ages to the hopeless. And it's still bringing strength to the weak, and it's still bringing healing to the sick, and deliverance to the bound and the oppressed. Showing us that there is a fourth man in the fire with us, and his name is Jesus. Each one of us, as children of the Most High God, as believers of Jesus Christ, we overcome today by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You need to believe this morning and expect that in the days and weeks to come. Somebody already said that this morning. Somebody's going to be delivered because of your testimony. Somebody's going to be healed because of your testimony. It doesn't have to be only when we have an outreach to share your testimony. Why would you want to wait till later on? What about today? What about tomorrow at the store or at the work or at the post office or at the fuel pump? Just know somebody is going to receive boldness and strength to keep on because of your testimony. Do they need all of the gritty details? Certainly not. Yet you can be discreet and you can still share. Somebody who is going to quit the ministry is going to stay in the ministry because of your testimony. Somebody who is on the verge of a nervous breakdown is going to find peace and comfort and strength because of your testimony. Somebody was ready to quit on life and they're going to keep on living because of your testimony. No wonder the devil has tried to kill you. No wonder you've been going through the fiery furnace. He wants to shut you up. He wants to kill your testimony. But I'm here to remind you, Jesus took care of the devil 2,000 years ago. When David was running from Saul, he went and got the sword of Goliath back that he had taken from him when he cut off his head. The sword of Goliath represents two things. Number one, in the hand of Goliath, it represents that which was sent to kill, steal, and destroy. We could call it sickness and disease today, or we could call it debt or marriage problems, or we could call it attacks on our character, even on our mind. The bottom line is, it is that which the devil sent to kill you, kill your ministry, kill your marriage. But listen, the sword in David's hand, that same sword was the testimony that whatever the devil designed and launched against him, guess what? It didn't work. It didn't work. I need you to hear me this morning. It's the testimony that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It's a testimony that if God is for you, who can be against you? And David cut off Goliath's head with his own sword. What if we made a choice today, instead of murmuring and complaining about what we're going through and what the devil's doing, that we choose rather to begin praising the Lord and give the devil a message? Thank you, Mr. Devil, for giving me something to work with. Thank you, Mr. Devil, for putting a sword in my hand so I can cut your head off. And those of you who are going through big trials and big fires and big problems, can you declare today and determine anew that your testimony will be that big sword that will do much damage to the devil's kingdom? That your testimony will see the captive set free, delivered from the kingdom of darkness, and translated into the kingdom of light. Psalms chapter 9 verses 13 and 14, David tells how God lifted him up from the gates of death so that he could testify to the churches or Zions of his deliverance, and tell how when the enemy sent to destroy him, backfired in the enemy's face and destroyed them. I want to boldly declare to you this morning, if you will receive it, that God is going to turn some things around for you. God is going to make the devil's plan backfire in his face. If you will hold on, God will deliver you, and he'll put the enemy's sword in your hand, and you'll cut off the enemy's head with his own sword forever. And God's going to give you a testimony. Listen, that's for somebody this morning. You may know this, but it's worth repeating. We've all heard this. No miracle comes without a problem. No victory comes without a battle. No crown comes without a cross. No resurrection comes without a death. And no testimony comes without first a test. You may be going through the fire right now in the fight of your life, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, being attacked physically, spiritually, and financially. Your family under attack. Your marriage being attacked. It seems like hell has been unleashed against you. But God wants me to tell you, you're going to make it. You're not going under. You're going over. God loves you so very much. And sure, you've been in some messes. We all have. But listen, he hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't left us. Even walking through our mess, he's still there. Somebody needs to be reminded, you're not going to burn up in the fire, but you're coming out in victory. You're coming out with a testimony that will shake hell itself. And it'll break down walls and it'll set captives free. Listen, when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River, as I mentioned at the beginning, they set up two pillars. One was in the middle of Jordan and one was on the other side of Jordan. And so the first one in the midst of Jordan, we could say, was a midway praise. It was an I'm going through it praise. I love that kind of praise. Has anybody got an I'm going through it praise? No. Pastor, I'm going through sickness, but I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going through a situation, but I'm going to praise God anyway. I'm going through financial problems, but I'm going to praise God anyway. I'm going through it with my children or my grandchildren, but I'm going to praise Him anyway. I don't know what all you're going through this morning, but you need to use a stun gun on the devil by giving God a going through it praise. And then here's a powerful one. Watch this. How about giving him a midnight praise?
That's right.
You may be in the darkest time of your life, but can you give God praise at that moment?
Yeah.
And we find that story in Acts chapter 16, very familiar, where Paul and Silas were beaten and they were humiliated in public. And they were bound and cast into the prison. They could have murmured and complained. They could have been angry and bitter at everybody. They could have slipped over into self-pity. Woe is me. But guess what? We don't see that. We don't read that. The Bible says in the 21st verse, at midnight, Paul and Silas began to pray and sing praises unto God. And God shook the prison off of his foundation. He shook the doors off of his hinges. He broke the shackles off of every prisoner. Somebody needs to hear it. God works the night shift. He doesn't sleep or slumber. He's right there with Brother Roy working that midnight shift. And Brother Roy's getting skinny on us. God does his best work in the dark. When the children of Israel got to the other side of the Jordan, Joshua said, now take those stones that you carried out of the Jordan and build a pillar there. meaning, and this is an awesome one in itself. This is your thank God I made it praise. Thank God I made it through praise. Is there anybody here who knows it's a miracle you're still here today? Amen. Anybody knows that if it hadn't been for God, you would have died? Doctors have done what they know to do, but you have a promise of long life. Sister Margaret, you're still teaching and praying and interceding and counseling. Dr. Jesus took your case, and he's still at work, and you're a walking miracle. You're a walking testimony. Is there anybody here who has a thank God I made it testimony? A thank God I made it praise. Has anybody here ever been through a storm? Oh my gosh, we heard Robert Brake yesterday give his testimony. Telling you, God did a number on him. His parents passed away in that RV, being swept down the Guadalupe River during the night. Didn't know it had hit him. And he had to go and search for him. He found him later. Both passed away. But I'm telling you, God had to work something through him. And he told us about crying, going to this church there nearby, and surrendering his heart all over again to the Lord. Changed man. Hallelujah. But God came on the scene and made a way where there was no way. And we find God rebuked the storm and brought you out. Psalm 119:92, David said, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in my own affliction." And in Psalm 40 and verse 2, we find David saying, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." And he goes on to say in verse 3, "And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." What did he say? God has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. I was stuck in a horrible pit. I was sinking in the miry clay. All joy and peace was fading from view. It looked like I was going to die. It looked like I would never be happy again. It looked like the devil had won. But God reached down into that pit and he pulled me out of that miry clay. And he set my feet upon the rock to stay. And he gave me back my joy. And he gave me back my peace. And he gave me back my song. What David was saying, God has given me a testimony. And when people hear my testimony, they will honor God and they'll put their trust in him for their own deliverance and their own miracle. Don't hold back on your story. Somebody has a midway praise. Somebody has I'm going through it praise. Someone has a midnight praise, I'm sure. And someone has a thank God I made it through praise. Hear me this morning. Someone is waiting to hear your story. Don't minimize your story. It doesn't matter. God saved you. We were all born into sin. That's a testimony in itself. But God saved me. Praise God. If you have a testimony, don't be ashamed to lift up your voice and give shout of praise to the Lord. Can everybody with me say yes? Yes. Yes to the Lord. The devil is a liar. And guess what? The devil is a loser too. Our God is greater than cancer. Our God is greater than any heart trouble. God is greater than sugar diabetes. He's greater than high blood pressure. He's greater than arthritis. He's greater than deafness and cataracts. Come on, somebody. Our God is greater than any addiction. He's greater than every kind of perversion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God deserves our praise. We ought to praise him like he brought us out of something. Amen. So I've asked Sister Brenda to come. And as we end today, our at this point, I'm not going to say end because God's not finished. How's that? So at this point of our time together, Sister Brenda's going to come. And as she sings in just a moment, can you just take a moment? And I want you to sit there and think with me of all the things that Jesus has done in your life. Take the moment and think. Where would you be to, if he hadn't intervened? Pastor, I was sick, but God healed me. I was lost, but Jesus found me. I was bound by many things, but God delivered me. I was oppressed, but God set me free. I was sinking, but God gave me a miracle. I was bound to lose it all, but God brought restoration, Pastor. I was about to lose my mind, but God stepped in and spoke peace over my life. Have I told you this morning the Holy Ghost is real, Brother Roy? He excited me Wednesday night. I've already got a sermon on Acts 2. I'm holding it, brother. I'm holding it. And I thank the Lord for the delivering power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And if he's done something for you one time, guess what? Just know he'll do it again. Because most every one of those things that I've mentioned here could very well be our testimony. I know it's mine. Remember, there truly is power in your testimony. Don't let the enemy tell you otherwise. So today, let me ask you, while she's singing today, what are you needing? Because the Holy Spirit of Almighty God is here in this place to do all those things for us and even so much more. I've come expecting great and mighty things today. He's already answered my prayer. I want him to mess me up today. I want him to mess our normalcy up today. And guess what? Brother Brandon obeyed the Lord today. Thank you, Brandon. Woo! Come on down, brother. Okay, all right. Well, while she's singing, you want to make your way down, you can. The Lord is present to heal, deliver, and set captives free, to open doors to the impossible in someone's life this morning. And guess what? He'll do it again, and he'll do it again, and he'll do it again. Praise God. Okay, Sister North, you got it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God.